It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. It's Lightning Radio time here on the Cue. The Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes, and it is now on the radio. And Bill Moss is back with us for another exciting edition of Lightning Radio here on the Cue. Bill, nice to have you here. Matt was fantastic last week, but it's always great to have you back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Mark, and thank you to my good friend Matt, Ask Matt Madison,
yes.
For filling in very capably, because I took advantage of the WTZQ podcast to check it out, and it was a very entertaining show.
Yes, absolutely. Just like this one's going to be entertaining as well. As we said, the Lightning is on the streets. Let's get behind the headlines. Bill, this is really sort of a development issue, isn't it? Lots of development news this week.
Yeah, there absolutely is. There's some I look back on it, and in compiling this week's radio show, realize there's a yes, there's some no, there's a no, and there's some maybes. We'll see how it all comes out.
All right, let's start with what you have right here on the on the front page. After neighbors object, planning board recommends against Chadwick rezoning. Tell us that story.
Yeah, well, this story is a familiar one, Mark, of people not liking a development right next to or in their famous backyard. And this one, to be sure, would be pretty tight. It was proposed to be to have four homes on 0.7 acre lot. It's in almost, if you're headed from Greenville Highway, people will know Chadwick Square. You turn there, there's the, in recent years, there's, of course, the South Rock restaurant and bar is on that corner, and that's where you go if you want to go to the great what's the chocolate candy shop?
Vans chocolates.
Vans chocolates for sure. But more than that, neighbor said, it's just so commonly used as a cut through from Greenville Highway to Spartanburg Highway and the other way around, of course, is that it already has lots of traffic on it. So this homeowner, James Noble, asked for rezoning to a conditional use. Already is a highway business. There's some highway businesses along that road people will be familiar with. And the neighbors said, no, that's way too tight. There's too much flooding. There's too much traffic. It's too much of a hazard, because they didn't see any way for the cars to internally turn around in their own driveway because it is so tight. And so they portrayed a hazardous situation of cars trying to back out onto Chadwick Avenue to get out of their homes. And the planning board, in a close vote, close as it can get, in a 3-2 vote, voted to recommend that the Hendersonville City Council deny this request. So we shall see where that goes next.
So would it be a very strange thing if the zoning board asked the city council to deny it and the city council not follow the zoning board and actually not deny it?
Yes, it's happened. It's happened both ways, Mark.
Okay.
It happened that you might remember in one of the most high profile cases that was the other direction from what you described, where the it would have been that direction too. Excuse me, where the planning board voted. I think that, as I recall, might have been like 5-2. There were more members than the five we had on in Monday's meeting against the rezoning to allow the Hendersonville High School. About a week and a half or 2 weeks later, the Hendersonville City Council voted also narrowly, 3-2 in that case, as I recall, because they had to do it twice, voted to allow the rezoning for the Hendersonville High School. That was actually round one that was the more controversial, all new Hendersonville High School, not using the Stillwell building. So make that point. I think in the version we have now, I think the planning board blessed it. And of course, the city council did also. So you're right. The precedent is there. Either way, there's been cases where the planning board has blessed something and the city council has turned it down. And there's been cases where the planning board has said no and the council has said yes.
Interesting. Thanks for that history. Let's move on over to page two and over to the Ocklawaha Village. Homeowners are asking about walling off those apartments, that brand new apartment complex.
Yeah, we're moving across town and moving from single family homes to apartments, but we're not moving off topic because, again, you have this is a true NIMBY situation, because if you go out there, as we did, of course, to make a picture, you'll see that these apartments, which are, I guess they're two story, but they're kind of raised up. The first story is raised up a little bit off the ground on the foundation. So they're pretty tall. And they are literally in the backyard of the single family homes. There's 17 affordable single family homes that were built out there for like workforce housing, working families, nice little neighborhood. And then suddenly, at least these neighbors said, we didn't know these apartments were going to be here, or if we did, we didn't know they were going to be that big or that close, or they were going to cause runoff into our yard. And so they created quite the hoo-ha at the meeting of the Hendersonville City Council last week and presented a petition. And among the requests, more of a request than a demand, because I don't think the city council, I know the city council didn't endorse it, and I don't believe the Housing Assistance Corp, which made this whole development, is going to endorse it and construct it. But they said, how about a visual and sound like retaining wall between the two? If you went out there, you'd see, I don't even think if it happened that the homeowners would like the result, because instead of looking at apartments, they have this monolithic wall literally right in their backyard, because if these apartments are, you know, 50, 75 feet away, I'm not sure the distance, then the wall would be maybe 20 feet from their backyard. I don't think that's going to fly, but there again, it shows you we've got lots of development going on. We've got proposed development. We've got, in this case, development that is almost finished. It's more than out of the ground. It's almost finished. It'll get a certificate of occupancy by the fall, and people will be moved in there. And with growth comes some opposition and some fussing.
Sure, absolutely. Gosh knows we have certainly seen it and will continue to see it. And let's continue on the growth topic. Over on page five, we've got where the council has okayed the 10-unit condo on First Avenue West. That's that Riddle Development condo project.
Yeah, and again, this one has gone on since January, as I recall. I've covered it twice before the Hendersonville Planning Board, and then our reporter, Andrew Dundas, covered it when I was out of town last Thursday night before the city council. So this one, which went to an almost certain no, though not a vote, but a strong feeling of no by neighbors, to sort of a maybe before the planning board, and it was endorsed by the planning board last month, I think, and then approved, in this case, unanimously by the Hendersonville City Council, and that is to build. And we got a nice rendering here that shows it'll be a big size. It'll look different on that corner, although there's a couple fairly large single-family homes. This will be two separate units of four condos each, and in the back, I think above the two units above garages that I think it might be an eight-car garage total. The people in the garage units actually won't have garages. I think is the way it goes. But Andrew Riddle, people know him and his dad, Sam, home builder around here for a long time. Andrew was a Republican candidate for county commissioner a while ago. People might recall he's from Hendersonville High School. And he's proposed this and worked hard with the neighbors on some compromises and some retreats on buffering and so forth to try to make it as accommodating as possible to the neighbors. So look for that condo. Sorry, I forgot to say where. It is on it's they're called West Avenue Villas, and it's on West Avenue First, just west of Washington Street.
So the council has okayed that. So now shovel can go to ground, right?
Shovel can go to ground.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Interesting. And on that same page, if again, more development in a split vote, council authorizes 291 dwellings. Let's get behind that headline, Bill.
Yeah, there you go. We go from in town and, you know, some little, I don't know, scale-wise. I mean, they seem kind of like these upscale condos, and those will be purchased and not rented, presumably, to this 291-unit development. It is on a U-shaped piece of property that around the post office annex. A lot of people don't have reason to go to the post office annex, which we go to every week with bundles, with sacks of the Lightning to mail, but they do know it. And this is something neighbors complain about it. Back to that traffic issue, Mark. They do know it if they take the back way from North Main and Nix Road and Howard Gap, take that back way to the Sam's Club and Walmart and the Staples Shopping Center and so forth. So that area, if this comes to pass, and it was now approved in a 3-2 vote of the city council, which had to be done Thursday night and then ratified because it, the type of conditional use zoning it was, it really had to be ratified the next day, Friday, in a 5-minute meeting. Vote was still 3-2, but that is sufficient. There just has to be a second vote to ratify it if you don't get a supermajority. So approved with the votes of council members Jennifer Hensley and Jeff Miller and Mayor Barbara Vogt. But this was opposed by council members Lindsay Simpson and Jerry Smith, who agreed with the neighbors that it was too much traffic and they wanted to see more. They said they weren't necessarily opposed to apartments. They thought that would be a decent addition to a need for some possibly affordable housing. Haven't seen what the proposed rent on these places would be, but they said they were concerned enough about this traffic issue to really want to see some more commitment on what traffic improvements might be made.
Okay. Interesting. Believe it or not, there's still more development news in this week's Lightning and on this week's Lightning Radio, and we'll be back with it here on The Q.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case and Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. Bill, let's stay on development here for just a little bit more. Very interesting story here about the city merging downtown and planning departments. This is another headline we need to get behind.
Yeah, it is. And it is apropos of what we just offered. I think those four developments, Mark, they were all city cases. A lot of times we have, whether it's Taproot or the asphalt plant or the Horseshoe Farm or whatever, a lot of the big residential proposals in recent times have been county. But these are all city, which shows you a couple things. It shows you that developers are wanting to move closer in. That Chadwick Avenue example would have been infill development. And I really thought this was a good move by the city of Hendersonville to take, as we say elsewhere in this week's issue, City Manager John Connett did not let a crisis go to waste in the famous formation of a former White House chief of staff a long time ago in a different context. But if it was a crisis, that the longtime and really widely respected city planner and director of development assistant Susan Frady retired after 33 years with the city. John Connett looked around and said, what am I going to do to replace her? And he decides to merge two departments that coordinate a lot. And he said, really, maybe should just be under one roof with the leadership of one person. And that led to this merger of the Downtown Economic Development Department, which has been led by the very capable Lou Holloway, and the Development Assistance Department renamed, recast, kind of transformed a few years ago to a more developer-friendly and kind of broader-looking agency. So those become broader yet, all of those functions, and more coordinated is the hope under Lou Holloway with the also very capable senior planner Daniel Heyman. Over the planning and zoning functions, and get kind of a promotion as well, or is a promotion for Jamie Carpenter, a young lady who's been doing a great job, former Tryon downtown development director that Lou hired a few months ago from Tryon. It's just she moves into more his role directly with both Main Street and the historic 7th Avenue District to coordinate all this. You know, we got the streetscape, the new streetscape of 7th Avenue coming up in the coming months. There's always something to do now, especially in the COVID crisis, to try to promote and stabilize the downtown and 7th Avenue. And we've seen the transition of 7th Avenue. So makes sense. And we thought that was really good to sort of put in one place and let people know what to look for there.
And if I recall, Bill, Lou Holloway's education and jobs before he got here were in landscape development and land planning, if I recall.
I think he's a landscape architect.
Landscape architect, exactly.
And he came from, I'm not going to be able to call it exactly, but he came from a state agency. He's got a great planning. He has a young family, lives in Laurel Park. So he's always been a great addition, like a lot of great hires. I would credit to this current city council, of course, and the city manager, John Connett, in building a really strong team. And I think it gets more cohesive and stronger yet with this move.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Let's get out of can we get out of development for a minute and talk about
from the looks of it, many would like to.
And let's talk about some other things, but let's keep it here in the city. Found out some news this week that we're losing our city police chief. Chief Herbert Blake, he's moving up to Buncombe County.
Yeah, this was the cause, I guess, on Monday morning of the famous 24-hour mystery.
It was
a mystery with shelf life because we get this news release from the city early Monday morning that Chief Blake was resigning as the police chief of the Hendersonville Police Department with no explanation. A nice send-off from Chief Blake himself. And then reporting around and digging around, I was able to find out that nothing wrong. He wasn't sacked by any means. He's not unhappy. He got another opportunity that we think, well, what is it? Well, we think you'll hear about it very soon. So just almost exactly 24 hours later.
Yeah.
Sheriff Miller over in Sheriff Quentin Miller over in Buncombe County next door. Hired Chief Blake as his chief deputy. And I guess you're going to ask me for the story behind this headline.
Of course I'm going to ask you the story behind the headline. That's what we do, Bill.
Well, I think if you watch the television coverage, and in this case, it is television coverage more than lightning because we don't cross that line over into Buncombe and Asheville that often, and maybe see the coverage of the protest for justice and the Black Lives Matter movement since the death of George Floyd in police custody and the other demands, whether it's Confederate monuments and so forth. If you see that underway, and of course it has a lot to do with the demographics of the town and of both towns, and you compare that to what Hendersonville has managed to do with its one or two protests, then you really see a big difference visually and sound-wise and atmospherically. And not to say that Chief Miller has control over downtown Asheville. That's the Asheville Police Department more than it is the sheriff's office. But he still is the highest top law officer in Buncombe County. He saw what Chief Blake, we've mentioned John Connett, we've mentioned the city council, what they did. There was a lot done before the March for Peace and Unity here in Hendersonville that never came to the surface, but there was a lot of care and feeding of that situation before it happened, while it happened, and even after it happened. And Chief Blake has modeled a lot of de-escalation kind of policies. He put in body cams. He debarred chokeholds and other of the more aggressive maneuvers that many departments are now reviewing and evaluating. So that's really the story. You don't see much of that directly. We didn't manage to get, unfortunately, an interview with Sheriff Miller and Chief Blake, but Sheriff Miller said it took me some time to get Chief Blake to leave a good situation, and I'm excited about the opportunity to work with him in serving the people of Buncombe County and working together toward implementing 21st century policing. And then I think, though it was a prepared statement, Chief Blake kind of hinted at the situation as well when he said Hendersonville is a wonderful city and he's enjoyed the police job here and the great men and women of our police department. Still, Blake said, having an opportunity to serve in a leadership position with Sheriff Miller at the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office during this important time in society presents a unique professional opportunity. So we'll have to see Chief Blake more from afar now, and we probably won't see him out front. And not Chief Blake's favorite part of the job. That still will be, but it won't be a part of his job now as much as it was when he was police chief. He'll be second in command under Sheriff Miller, and we'll try to put some of these, operational and policy changes in place over there.
I'm glad you mentioned that one section because I wanted to do the same, where Sheriff Miller talked about the fact that it took him a while. He courted him for a while to try to get him away from the current position that he held. So we'll look forward to the Lightning staying on this story too and finding out where we go, where the city goes for its next chief of police.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I guess is the tail end, and for now, the last chapter before the next chapter. Mr. Connett will appoint probably pretty soon because Chief Blake leaves the job a week from tomorrow and starts the new job the following Monday. So Mr. Connett will appoint an interim police chief, and then there'll be a much longer process to follow of identifying both internal and external candidates, evaluating, of course, interviewing, recruiting, possibly, and hiring the next police chief of the city of Hendersonville. We've only had two in the 30 or so years.
That's right. That's right. That's a very good point. Bill, let's finish off our Lightning Thursday today and touch on your editorial. Of course, your ever popular Good Job Needs Work. But one of the things you mentioned in this one is retirements cost city 90 years of institutional memory.
Yeah, we mentioned this. That we don't ordinarily like to dwell as much. We like people to read the editorial and decide themselves. And we don't put meat on the bones necessarily. Just let them read. But in this case, it's a part of the story we just mentioned, kind of in a way about some new city changes because of a retirement. But in this case, the city has, as you mentioned, lost 90 years of institutional memory. We wanted to give a shout out not just to not to mention friendly service, good humor, and exemplary dedication over the past 3 months with the retirements of City Clerk Tammy Drake, 31 years with the city, City Attorney Sam Frischner, 26 years, I think it was. And as we mentioned, Susan Frady is a zoning enforcement officer, lots of other things, worked her way up from an office assistant to this Department of Development Assistant Director that she left in her 33 years with the city, serving under four mayors, four city managers, and 25 council members. So we just have a little salute to each one of those three, and we say farewell and thank you. All three will be missed.
Absolutely. Speaking of being missed, we can't let Lightning Radio go today without mentioning the passing of a good friend of the radio station, good friend to you too, Bill, Buddy West. We lost Buddy West recently.
Lost Buddy West, sadly. It's on HendersonvilleLightning.com. It just happened yesterday, so of course it did not make the print issue. And we got a nice write-up that the family helped us with of Malvern Smith Buddy West, native of Hendersonville. and longtime principal of Etowah Elementary School, sadly passed away from us on Wednesday after battling Parkinson's disease for the past 4 years. He was a 1959 graduate of his beloved Flat Rock High School. He loved to talk about that. Sat next to Buddy many, many times at Hendersonville Kiwanis Club and learned so much about the town.
Yeah.
And he was one of my back channel sources of local history and culture and politics. I don't think his name ever showed up on the tail end of a direct quote, but you have to have sources like that that tell you about the town and tell you that's how we get contacts with people. By talking to people like Buddy West.
Yep, absolutely. And a life well led, and he certainly will be missed. So thank you for shining a light on him as you do so well, Bill. We appreciate it. All right, Bill, let people know where they can pick up their copy of this week's Lightning, because there's still so much more that we don't have time to cover.
Yeah, we didn't get to it all, of course, but they can get all the rest of it and review the actual stories that we talked about today by visiting any of our 60 Lightning Orange racks around the county, or dealer partners such as coffee shops and convenience stores and the Publix grocery store, for one that's easy to find. Or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.